No, it's not a conspiracy. They didn't take me down. Sorry, guys. That was absolutely me. I'm on a backup camera. Because this little bad boy, that's crystal clear that I normally use, I forgot to recharge the battery. Sorry about that. That's why I got this backup camera. Just let me know if my audio's good. We got to get into this one. We got to get into it. It's good. Audio's good. Excellent. Well, on September 9th, the crew and I are going to be in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And if you want to come do a meetup, we're going to be at the Blue Corn Cafe and Brewery. I think that's about 12:30, noon, 12:30, Santa Fe, New Mexico. I slowed that chat down. It's still going fast. Waiting for a few more people to catch up in the chat. I know I gave people the old switcheroo and they abandoned, and that's cool. This video is not meant for everybody, but it's going to be a good one. Got this book in the mail last night. I read it in about 4.5 hours. I was done. I processed what I read for about 1.5 hours. Went back and reread significant portions, put it all together, and realized exactly what I was dealing with. And I'm going to let you guys have the business. Oh, I know. I know what mic it is. Brock Lucas, you're right. I've already disengaged that microphone. I'm on the mic that's attached to the other camera. All this, I don't have time to do all these reconfigurations. This right here had its own setup. It has the whole Focusrite setup. It's got all these other devices, the cloud lifter, the cloud lifter, Focusrite, everything went through here. This is my backup. It just goes straight into my computer. It's my emergency microphone and camera. Monica Pharaoh, hey. Monica been around since way before I had 1,000 subs. Let's see. Nemesis Bex, you've been around for a while too. Nemesis Bex, you want a moderator wrench, you let me know. Well, you've been around for a while. One Talks, how you doing, New Zealand? I'm waiting for a few more people to get in the chat before we start this amazing video. Because guys, when I do a deep dive in a book, and this book's the one I did a deep dive on, I read this entire book. Dawn will tell you, because I totally ignored her the whole 4.5 hours I read this book. Then I went and told her what I found. Then I processed it. Then I went back and reread significant portions. Then I went back and told her some more. Then I had to write a whole huge PDF on it. Yeah, I went through this book. Victoria Z, I hope you came back. You were in the chat a minute ago. You got to go with your intuition, Victoria. You were right. Shiva Shampoo, I'm sorry. I have been deluged with all kinds of personal stuff. I barely been have time to do videos lately. I squeeze a video out. I'm not ignoring you, Shiva. I'll get to you on an email. I really want to do that video. Hit those likes. You hit the likes on the first video, hit the likes on this one. Yeah, the names are going by too fast, so. Nemesis Bex, when I see you again. Hey, Rhino from Texas. If I see you again, I'll I'll give you that wrench. Clay's Pigeon, you gonna type slower so the chat moves slower? That's good. All right. So I got had two books here until all this excitement broke loose. Now I don't know what I did with them. Damn. Oh, well, I'll just tell you. That's crazy. Anyway, we've taken, Big John took all the pictures necessary for, I'm doing a special presentation on Easter Island, the Moai, the big giant heads, that whole civilization. It's going to be chronographical and pictorial. You're going to see pictures, man, that very few people have seen. You're going to see things that have been discovered on Easter Island that they don't really talk about, because it messes up all their historical established chronologies. You're going to see a lot of that material. Now, Easter Island's not the only one, though. We're going to go deep off into the Crystal Skull. We've already done all the image harvesting from all these images we're showing are from books that we have in our library. A lot of pictures of Easter Island and the Crystal Skull found in Lubantim or something, Central America. Yeah, it's really fascinating stuff. But those two videos are coming real fast. I had an Archaics TV video, but this right here stopped all that. Getting this in the mail stopped all that. So my Santa Fe, September 9th, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Corn Cafe? I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. Got a few more people. Quantum Paradox, how you doing? Jamie Robbins, always here. I'm glad I had that backup camera out the case. Needed that. Thank you, McKeer. All right. Chat going 100 miles an hour. Think we're ready to begin. Oh, I see a Nemesis Bex. Okay. This coffee. All right. Cosmic Guru. How old is the book? The Phoenix Hypothesis apparently was published 7 days ago. Yeah, it's hard to believe. 7 days ago. So, got it real fast. I don't know who sent it to me. Basically, the first half of the book essentially starts off as a overview of the entire truther movement, different elements involved, different narratives at play, and it's pretty good. It doesn't really have anything to do with Phoenix material. There's very little crossover, but this book is absolutely necessary because it cannot be misunderstood that this is supported by Archaics. In no way is this book support the Phoenix phenomenon. It does not, it's not even connected remotely to my research, other than citing a bunch of my material, colloquials, adages, a lot of the people I cite, different authors and research, people I've had on my channel that I've talked to. It goes into depth to citing those sources. But as far as crossover between the Phoenix phenomenon and there's not a lot. So we need to address certain issues. Overall, it's a very well-written book, but I do have some issues with the book. So I'm going to give it its praise as an overview of the truther movement going back to the 60s, the invention of the term conspiracy theory coming all the way up to modern day, to the old pandemic crisis. It's a really good, very informative overview of basically all the multiple narratives going out. Now, I will say this, Christian Kohler is the author of this book, The Phoenix Hypothesis. There are things that cannot be, that just can't be denied. There is no doubt whatsoever within my mind that he was not heavily influenced by archaic material. Well, he admits this in the book. There's no doubt. So to the extent, though, I don't know. However, we need to go deep into this. And in order for me to be as objective as possible, I'm going to read you certain passages and I'm going to let you decide for yourself exactly what this book represents. Because I can see its value on one face, but I also see a whole other side, something else developing here. And I'm going to let you draw your own conclusions. But I told you guys in the past, there will never come a book that comes before me that I don't analyze the shit out of it. And I did that with this book. You know, I'm talking, dude, guys, I look at grammar. I look at syntax, sentence structure. Colloquials are a big thing. I want to know how many people contributed to a text. What is the evidence that there's multiple writers? I want to see all that. I said, this is my gift, and I'm going to use it for the advantage of my community. So I'm going to go through this book. I'm going to show you. He's got a pretty significant large passage about me in this book, and that's all good. And I, you know what? I'll probably read it to you, but I don't know who some of these guys, I don't know who he is. He's traveled a little bit. He hasn't been on my radar before. I don't know. I've been published since 2006. I don't know who he is. I'm not familiar with his material. But then again, he's international. This Christian Kohler, he's in Mexico, he's in the United States, he's in Switzerland. Right now, I think he's in Switzerland. I believe he's trying to appeal to a German community, and that's fine. But we have to separate some things here, because this right here is a very heavy inference that this is in some way supported by archaics, and it's not. This Phoenix hypothesis, it stands alone. But even so, we have to analyze this to see it for what it is. I'll give you some really good things to ponder as I read these. But I will say this, there will be a PDF at the end of this video for you to download of all this entire dissertation, the actual page numbers of the citations in here, different pictures. I will say that some really compelling material. But I had to go back through my emails, and I found out that Mr. Colhart did send me an email on October 12th. And he basically informed me ex post facto that he had had a article published in German in Nexus magazine. Now, I was kind of taken aback. Nexus magazine, I believe the New Zealand or Australian branch of Nexus magazine, or editor was in New Zealand at the time, a few years ago, had basically denied me. I tried to get published in Nexus. So that was a while back, five, maybe six, 7 years ago, but they had denied me. But then again, I was published in Paranoia magazine instead. And it was about the Phoenix, but that was a long time ago. That was like 2004, 2005. So I don't know. He had sent me an email and told me this had happened, and I didn't really pay much attention to it because he had mentioned that he had retitled his thesis to the Phoenix Hypothesis, but priorly it was the Cassandra Hypothesis. So I really didn't pay much mind until I got this book in the mail last night. I didn't really pay my emails. I get thousands of emails. I just read it, went through it, I shelved it mentally, and didn't think about it no more. So I read this book. As soon as Dawn showed me the book had come in the mail, I just sat down. I tore right through it. Literally, it took me 4.5 hours to read this book. Then it took me another 2 hours to take notes out of the book once I had processed it for about 1.5 hours. So, I will have to say, before we go into this book, like I said, there's moments of genius in this book. And then there's also questionable material. I'm not talking about untrue. I'm talking about basically where this data derived. So, like I said, he did give me credit, but there's some things in this book that really raised up some red flags with me. And it's not because this man disagrees with some of the things that I teach. That's not why. Red flags are for an entirely different reason. Now, I do want it to be known that before Mr. What's his name? Colhart? I don't know how you say your name, man. So you're going to have to forgive me if you're in the chat. But Christian Colhart, prior to him publishing his Phoenix hypothesis and even changing the name from the older Cassandra hypothesis, prior to that, I had already released 3 published books on the Phoenix history and the Phoenix phenomenon, the Phoenix chronology, what the elite know about the Phoenix and all that, as well as 75 videos on YouTube. So the information was already out there and had been out there for a very long time. So this, having reviewed the email, I went to his website and I looked at the Cassandra hypothesis. And I didn't find any overlap. I read the entire, it's still there. It's there right now. I went to his website, looked at the Cassandra hypothesis. I read through it and I didn't see any coordinates with archaics. It's like, okay, what's up? I would have never been interested to begin with. It was something that I would have looked at and say, oh yeah, you know what? You're probably right about it. This probably was going down. This is what was happening during 2020. This is what was happening around the world with the elite. Yeah, all that. I probably would have agreed. I don't know. But the claim that the Phoenix hypothesis is merely a change of title from the Cassandra hypothesis, I mean, he did say he added to it. He had edited it. He had done all that. But it's a fundamentally different document. And this is what I want to get. I want to get into that before we even start this book. So I'm going to let it be known right now that Cassandra hypothesis, just before, this is what he wrote before it was the Phoenix hypothesis. Now, on his website, the Cassandra hypothesis is dated to November 2022. That means somebody else has been on the website and misdated it, moved it into a new file, did something, because that's wrong, because his email says that the Phoenix hypothesis is what came out of the Cassandra hypothesis. So the Cassandra hypothesis must have just recently been posted on his website, because the date for the post is November 2022. However, the Phoenix hypothesis was published in German by Nexus Magazine as early as October of 2022. So there's a mistake on his website. That means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying, I did notice that. So I'm going to tell you right now that the Cassandra hypothesis does not mention at all the names and research of Hans Bellamy, of David Hatcher Childress, of Zechariah Sitchin or Velikovsky, Andrew Tomas. It does not mention the Evolution Cruncher book. It does not mention Dr. Paul LaViolette in that original thesis of his, or Douglas Vogt. Now, all of these are heavily featured in Archaics, and I'm going somewhere with this. Now, none of those appeared in the original Cassandra hypothesis, but all of them appear in the newly retitled The Phoenix Hypothesis. So, more so, the Phoenix Hypothesis also mentions Phoenix phenomena. So, those of you, especially Mark Hakes veterans, you already know where I'm going with this whole narrative right here. You already know that all of these are very firmly well established on my channel. So, now, Christian says that his thesis is independent of one's belief in a flat earth or a globe, that the elite academia discovered the cycle of cataclysm in the 1980s, the funding of black ops projects and deep underground military bases is done by the elite through different projects. Ancient advanced civilizations like Derinkuyu were built underground by a long time ago. You guys know, I've talked about it a lot, Anatolia, you know, Hittite Anatolia. The disappearance of supplies and products during the pandemic were redirected to underground facilities during 2020, during the pandemic, guys. So, and the pandemic itself was a total diversion, and that Trump and Putin are merely just players on a stage, puppets fulfilling a role. So all of this is very familiar to you guys. I don't have to remind you which videos to watch. That's all very familiar to you. So he also mentions, Christian also mentions that after the cataclysm, people will come back up from the dumps. Also that the elite have run their own simulations. So I mention all these things to you because you already know that for the past 3 years, hell, my very first video, I come out the gate talking about half of that right there. I mentioned almost every element of that in my very first video on the Phoenix phenomenon. So the reason I'm going at that was that is because we have apparent, we're going to have a lot of people trying to bridge the Phoenix phenomenon with the Phoenix hypothesis, and they're not alike. They're not alike at all. But where they are alike are in areas that I'm really not comfortable with. One of them is the fact is that this author of the Phoenix hypothesis basically asserts that the Phoenix hypothesis is about the control systems used by the elite to distract the population while they're waiting for a cyclical cataclysm to occur. Now, that's a very fundamental teaching on my channel, repackaged as the Phoenix hypothesis, but with significant differences. And that's what this video is about. It's the differences that I'm not comfortable with at all. And I need to put some distance between what is promoted on Archaics and what Christian Kohler is promoting in this book. So that does not in any way dissuade you from buying the book. Make your own minds up. But I'm about to read you several significant passages. So now, Mr. Kohler has ample opportunity. He's all over Facebook. He has ample opportunity to defend his position. This PDF, the link will be downloadable for everybody because everything I'm mentioning in this video is in this PDF. It will be free, just like my other videos. You just download the PDF. So he's more than welcome to defend his position, but it does not look good that you sent me an email in October 12th telling me that you had released a video earlier to the German Nexus magazine and titled it The Phoenix Hypothesis, and in the same email claimed that you had just discovered me and had no idea about my research in Archaics, and you're excited about diving in. And yet, when I go look at the English translation for the German Nexus magazine, I find all the elements that I just read on this video, which are straight out of Archaics, almost in the order that I have presented them. So this is not totally damning. I mean, I've often agreed that I want people to share my material, get the word out. But this book does more than share the material, and I'm going to get to that. So perhaps it's just a coincidence. But I will say that I'm a stickler for details. A lot of things jumped out at me. In the PDF, you'll be able to see the very opening picture has all the disinfo agents, all Epstein and all these evil people and all these people that have been implicated and stuff and all these gatekeepers. They're all in this picture, guys. They're all in this picture. So I'm not cutting anybody any breaks. They're all in this picture. And if you look real close, I blow it up on the PDF, you'll see they threw my face right here. They tried to hide it in the shadow of the pyramid, but they put my face in there too. You can see it, even blurry like that. You can see it. So that right there was already pretty much putting me on cue that this book was more than it conveyed itself to be. So I was already kind of weirded out by the fact, because we got everybody in here. We got Trump, Putin, Biden, Klaus Schwab is right here, Donald Rumsfeld right here. Yeah, it's just, you know, we got all the gatekeepers. You see a whole bunch of them. Yeah, that's all right. So the foreword to this book is by Michael Horner. I've never heard of him. Maybe he's famous, maybe he's not, I don't know. But he wrote the foreword to this man's book. I'm not comfortable with what he said, and I'm going to explain why. This is Michael Horner, the foreword to this book, The Phoenix Hypothesis. The Phoenix Hypothesis is almost unique in that it creates a holistic story across all disciplines and levels of detail and positions humanity as part of the living planet. Now, I'm going to tell you now, this entire book focuses on planet, not construct, not realm. But we'll get to that in a minute. So, also says, but one man has had the courage, education, contacts, intellect, determination, and humility to take on the task of giving us an integrated view of modern reality. Can you guess who that man is? One man has had the courage, education, tenacity, contacts, determination, intellect, and humility to do all these things, to provide the data that's in this book. That claim sent me into overdrive to see exactly what was being claimed in this book. So that's what I did. The Phoenix Hypothesis, according to Michael Horner, is the brainchild of this author, Christian Cohert. And he's the one person in the world that had all these attributes that was able to put this book together. So let's see where he got this information in this book. So, it is interesting, though. It is really interesting. So we're going to, after everything that I just read to you guys, I'm going to tell you now, the man cited me. He cited Jason Brashears of Archaics. He talked good about me. I'm going, in the interest of all fairness, I'm going to read exactly what he said. I am. But he didn't start talking about me until page 127, after he got his thesis out. And then he switched over to almost everything that's Archaics related. So we're going to get into that right now. So, starting on page 4, we have this statement. This is written by the author. The Phoenix Hypothesis is my model of the current global situation. With this thesis, I do not claim an all-encompassing truth. That's an opening to a paragraph. The second paragraph starts, the Phoenix Hypothesis primarily addresses individuals who have reached a progressive detachment from the system narrative. I want to connect puzzle pieces and stimulate an open discourse on these correlations. Therefore, people are invited to question my perspective and examine the underlying data sets. Who talks like that? Now, we'll skip over here. The Phoenix Hypothesis is a process that unfolds step by step. I'm reading to you every time he says Phoenix Hypothesis. We're going somewhere with this. The Phoenix Hypothesis on page 33. The Phoenix Hypothesis can undoubtedly be integrated into a flat Earth model, which means my thesis works independently from the planet's shape. How many times have you heard that said in different words? Now, that was page 33. Now 57. Jump over here to 57. The Phoenix Hypothesis postulates that a superior intelligence controls thesis and antithesis according to Hegelian dialectics to synthesize its agenda. All right, guys, this is another thing that I'm always talking about. I just say it in different words about the polarization, about making you choose a side. This is something I go into a lot of detail about. But so could he. I mean, a lot of people have noticed this. This isn't something. I mean, we can always give people latitude for coming up with their own stuff. The core of my Phoenix hypothesis is based on the premise that the main agenda of an internationally and supranationally operating elite is determined by an imminent cataclysm. A cyclical pole shift could explain many of their odd behavior. I got many videos talking about why the elite do what they do, guys. So all I'm doing is I'm illustrating points showing that I was told in an email that my research did not influence that original article. And yet that original article, all the tenets I just listed for you, came straight out of Archaics, almost in the order of my presentations. So I have a problem with that. It's not so much that somebody uses the material. I invite that. But why be deceitful about it? Why not be honest that you did that? Don't publish a book ex post facto after you have already published my material in another language without citing me one time. Then come back and publish a book now citing me as if this is going to clean it up. I'm not cool. I'm not cool with the deceit. And this is exactly what I'm seeing here. So I haven't even read to you all the passages yet. I'm just reading you the little pieces about his theory on the Phoenix hypothesis, because it's very, we got to be careful here. We have to separate the Phoenix hypothesis from the Phoenix phenomenon, because what he's promoting in this book isn't even tantamount to anything that I'm promoting at all. Yeah, so we need to go through this, guys. 174. Good thing I got enough light in here. Yeah, I marked this book. This book looks like my Bible now. I marked it up. The Phoenix hypothesis can help dissolve the terror of the unknown threat by showing that global events indeed follow an inner logic. Change those words up a little bit and it sounds just like one of my videos. 175. My fundamental message as the author of this thesis is, I don't even want to read the rest of that. I'm just showing you the sentence structure. The Phoenix hypothesis is not an independent theory, but an alternative model based on various complex science fields. I want to give an overview of the most significant people who inspired the Phoenix hypothesis. We'll get to that here in a little while, because it's really interesting that I was not included on that list. So the following individuals, yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, I'm going to get to that later in the presentation. He lists a whole bunch of individuals in the back of this book. I'm not one of them. And yet I should be, and you'll understand once I read all these quotes. So I am featured in the book, starting at page 127. In all fairness, there is no way that I can, in all honesty, do this video without reading this to you guys, because the man was very honest in his assessment of who I am and what I've accomplished. He did that. But then sometimes you have to wonder why somebody took the time to do that. I'm going to let you guys make the decision by the end of the video. But in the interest of all fairness, I have to read what he wrote about me before I read anything else. The first time I mention is page 127. Get your coffee out. There's a couple pages. Christian Kohler, The Phoenix Hypothesis. Also, I must mention Jason Brashears, who has become known as Archaics. It was his work that made me aware of the fact of the cycle expected by the elites was associated with the Phoenix in ancient times. It is from this fact that the hypothesis borrows its name. His research inspired me greatly, so he shall be treated here first. Jason Brashears and the Phoenix. Jason Brashears is an expert in ancient literature and synchronizing old calendar systems. His wealth of knowledge and the gigantic data collection of his research has no equivalent. The exceptional circumstances that allowed him as a single individual to consolidate such a treasure trove of data are, unfortunately, also the most considerable criticism of his person. However, his story is so fascinating that I would like to summarize it here. Jason Brashears, as the son of a minor mother, was given up for adoption to a fundamentalist Baptist family. From an early age, he was indoctrinated into a radical interpretation of the Bible that controlled every aspect of his life. His foster mother served in a high position in the local church congregation and drilled her son from the beginning to study extensive religious texts and meticulously summarize the content. Young Jason's near photographic memory helped him internalize the names, places, and times within the documents. Even without his mother's insistence, he loved to read. However, he had to regularly work through a considerable volume of Christian literature to earn the right to a specifically chosen book of his own device. This sometimes inhuman training practically shaped Jason into a top text analyst athlete. In the final analysis, Brashears rebelled as a teenager against the community's rigid dogma and left the family's constraints. He drifted aimlessly, earning a living partially as a day laborer. Despite rebelling against the old Puritan ideology of the Baptist Church, he initially remained true to his instilled faith. However, this did not keep him from going astray. The downward spiral resulted in an extended criminal record of minor convictions. This trajectory escalated into a situation that earned him nearly 30 years in prison. Herein lies the major criticism that makes Jason Brashears a polarizing figure. Who would trust a convicted capital offender who had sprung from religious extremism? But of all things, here lies the second tragic key that allowed Jason to become archaic. Fate banished him to several correctional facilities that practically overflowed with ancient books. Entire wings of Texas prisons were stacked to the ceiling with sometimes rare writings from old renowned libraries that the state no longer had to close. A high-performance reader was practically locked up in libraries with exquisite ancient and classical texts for almost three decades. In addition, his Christian indoctrination commanded him to derive biblical history from old historical books. Retrospectively, one would like to believe in higher providence. His imprisonment provided him with ample material and time. Moreover, he became the archivist of the prison libraries where he was incarcerated and thus could freely exchange books between other institutions. If he found references in his studies to publications not available in his facility, there were ways to obtain them from other units. Even the most passionate professors and scholars are forced at some point to devote themselves to mundane daily life. These obligations are inevitable because they may have to lecture, have a family life, or even lose themselves in distractions at times. But Jason had no diversion and can only sit in his cell and read. For him, a sense of mental freedom always came with a concentration on written content. The imprisoned body evaporated in the background noise. The story's immersion took over his mind and allowed him to drive into other worlds. After a short time, Jason's fanatical attempt to prove the Bible's historical authenticity failed. More and more discrepancies appeared, which could not be ignored even by a selection of the sources. He realized that the Bible was full of manipulations. This hindsight ushered a painful break with his old paradigm, which had been forced into his mind from his early childhood. The phenomenon that emerges in such cases is called cognitive dissonance. In this case, an intellectual conviction collides with a new insight that can no longer be ignored in terms of validity. Most truthers know this feeling, although the effect can manifest differently. The more rigid and complex the old worldview was, the more jarring the breakdown when the mental construct implodes. But Jason Brashears did not give up on himself, only on his faith. Brashears continued to study and absorb everything he could find. Thus, he had nothing better to do and plenty of time on top of that. Jason left the Christian context and opened himself to all philosophical religious writings. The shift could be understood as a Gnostic approach. He read the Quran and various available translations and devoted himself to Jewish and Vedic literature. He not only studied the famous Bhagavad Gita, but worked his way through the entire Mahabharata. Even the most devout Hindus cannot claim that. Further, he read various philosophical and scientific standard literature and found scarce antique writings in his correctional facilities. In short, anyone who looks at Jason Brashear's reading list can only be respectfully amazed. This knowledge reflects in his own books and lectures. He developed a complex understanding of history based on cyclical resets within that process. From my experience, one can come to the same fundamental insights that shape Jason Brashear's interpretation, even with a fraction of the reading time. You must find the good books first. Still, you may not have the argumentative tools to defend your position across all intellectual disciplines. Jason Brashear's has that all-encompassing knowledge. I don't want to praise the man to the skies because he also has flaws, like all humans, and I would not subscribe to all his conclusions. Still, I believe he is a quintessential authority for reappraising the cataclysmic cycles based on ancient literature. Therefore, I regard him as far superior compared to people like Zechariah Sitchin or Graham Hancock in terms of knowledge about the old world and reset cycles. It's a pretty good compliment. I'm not going to take nothing from that. It should be clear, however, that even a man like Jason Brashear's has challenges consolidating his accumulated knowledge, which he has acquired over decades, into a consumable form. To this end, he wrote numerous books, revising them repeatedly in subsequent works as his ongoing research produced a more nuanced picture. He remained open-minded after his Christian doctrine fell apart. A seeker, always ready to expand his horizons, this tendency becomes evident in his work on simulation theory. He has proven his intellectual evolution in his various publications, as he, for example, has already released hundreds of videos on his channel, Archaics, on YouTube, attracting a large audience. Because of this mass of information, I will not summarize his argumentation of the cyclic transformations here. However, one cannot get past Jason Brashear's if one wants to dedicate a deeper understanding of this phenomenon. I will certainly return to his work when I formulate my extended Phoenix hypothesis, which I plan to address in a dedicated book. This is the last paragraph. From his research, I want to highlight that he expects a fundamental reset from 2040 to 2047. This estimation arises merely from an analysis of old books and ancient writings, which allows synchronization of the numerous calendar systems with the coded cycles. Surprisingly, this time frame coincides with the work of Douglas B. Vogt of the Diehold Foundation and the forecasts of suspicious observers. These estimates, in turn, are based on natural history data sets from the last several decades. Let's take a closer look at the group around Ben Davidson and Douglas Vogt. He goes off on them. I don't agree with neither one of Ben Davidson or with Douglas Vogt, and for entirely different reasons. And I have videos that go into great depth as to why I have these differences and what I have documented that is very different than I respect Ben Davidson. I've had Ben Davidson on my channel, and I have a profound respect for him because he believes. I think he believes in what he's teaching. I just don't believe a single thing NASA has ever published. But he believes it. And Douglas Vogt is a whole other story. I've already showed you guys in videos about Douglas Vogt is a part of the Diehold Foundation, but the Diehold Foundation did not produce that 2046 date. And a lot of people have contacted me about that. I tried to explain. I said, listen, I know you guys respect Doug Vogt. I'm going to respect that. But quit mentioning the man to me. Our data doesn't sync. It doesn't matter if somebody is identifying the same future year. Douglas Vogt puts it out like it's the Diehold Foundation conclusion, scientific conclusions. They give it's not. He got the 2046 date using a Bible verse and using a computer program that shows him what the geometrical value of that verse is, and it equaled 2046. And he made the cognitive leap from that Bible verse, which has nothing to do with that event, and thinks that's the sum of all the scientific material that's been put out. You're taking two unknowns, adding them together, and claiming to know something. I'm not with it. So. Anyway, This is what the man said about me. And I appreciate that. And he and I may be friends in the future, but we have unresolved issues with this book. Because you guys are going to see the evidence that I don't think it's just an innocent book. As a matter of fact, my publisher can't even afford. Who funded this? My publisher can't even afford. I Googled this publisher. I couldn't find a single other book by this publisher. It might be self-published or whatever, but it costs money to put out a hardback book and then distribute it. I know. I've got 17 books published and not one of them's a hardback book. Oh, my publisher can afford the paperback books. Yeah, but this right here? Yeah, this... Yeah, I'm a little jealous. Let's go to page 35. What happened on page 35? Let's see. On page 35, we have a reference together of the Maya of the Hindus and the dream time of the Aboriginals, you know, being evidence of a false reality. But I mean, Christian could have got that anywhere. He didn't have to get that from me. But following right after that, we have a reference on page 66 to a book called Moon's Myth and Man by Hans Bellamy, which I mentioned in about six different videos. I even did a whole video on it, on that book, just recently. Right after that, we got references to Dumbs, and we've got references to Darren Kuyu. We got references to resources being diverted by the elite into these Dumbs on page 89. On page 105, we got references to staged UFO panic and the spy balloon episode of China. Now, anybody could have been talking about all those, but I also know that my live presentations, I've been talking about all these things and recently. So, page 169, you don't get a pass on this one. Page 169, mankind needs only 200 years to progress from horse and buggy to quantum computer. Now, I normally say Hadron Collider, you changed it up, and that's okay. That's okay. I don't have a copyright on that statement. On page 169, you guys know I did two popular videos concerning the research of Andrew Tomas. I just did those videos recently within the last 4 months on two road trips ago to California. I showed all the scenery. The book was called We Are Not the First. And it's relied on it here. But what makes it really suspect is that's on page 169. We are not the first. It's also Evolution Cruncher by Vance Farrell is also mentioned on page 169. Listen, I don't mind people using my material because it's these other research. It's meant to be shared. But there seems to be a and I'm gonna show direct proof of it, but there seems to be a lot of borrowing and only assigning certain portions to be from Jason of Archaics. However, it seems like a large body of material from Jason Archaics, but I'm going to show you. I'm not about telling you anything. I'm about showing you. I say that all the time too. So page 170, again, the correlate between Jason and Doug Vogt. So let's look at page 36 and 37. Let's read some passages here because your opinion matters more. You guys are far more objective than I am, because I'm in a subjective position right now, critiquing a book that's real, real close to trying to pass off as something that I've spent years building. This is easy to get away with. There's a lot of things named Phoenix. Now, I will say this. There's not a lot of things named Phoenix Phenomenon or Phoenix Thesis, or like I'm always talking about the Phoenix Phenomenon and the Phoenix Thesis. I say those at least three or four times a week in videos. But the Phoenix Hypothesis, I don't think I've ever said that. So I can't accuse the man of anything, but that's a real telling title. But what really gives it away, though, is the fact is that this Phoenix Hypothesis is still about the elite. And it's still about what the elite believe about the Phoenix. And it's still about what the elite are preparing for and how they're preparing for it and how they're using the media, how they're building underground domes, how they're using people like Trump and Putin as a stage to keep people distracted. It's all in this book. It's all in this book. But it's presented as if none of this material came from me and that Jason is just a really unique individual who has influenced these writings. But listen, guys, I'm going to read you the passages. Page 36. What we got on page 36? What does this sound like? The evolution of space-time spanning quantum computers and the exponential development of highly immersive simulations assume that we already live in a form of a simulacrum. At least it seems more than plausible. This is the first use of simulacrum, you know my word, simulacrum, in this book. It's the first use. I don't own that word. I don't own that word at all. But the entire truther community knows that I recently brought it back toward the table from an old 400-year-old Latin dictionary. They know that. Now it's the word everywhere, and that's cool. I'm cool with that. I didn't invent that word. Matter of fact, right here in his bibliography, he's got a nice little citation right here in Latin showing where it derives and what it means, all right here. He didn't have to cite me. I didn't invent the word. With this model, all the paradoxes and anomalies in collective reality can be argued in a unified way. All contradictory phenomena can be put into one coherent picture, from reincarnation to Bigfoot or even lizard people if you want. Accordingly, the flat earth theory is merely an insignificant intermediate step towards the realization that our planet is neither flat nor round, but only a virtual construct. This is a part of, apparently, this is a part of the Phoenix hypothesis. So, really, what I'm getting to here is as I'm going to continue reading these, but shouldn't this whole situation have gone down? Like, hey, man, I want to open up an archaics chapter in Germany, man. Can I get your blessing? You know, I would have sent that man? You guys already know. I'd have sent him 4 thumb drives with more data than a man can read in his life. Why? Because I've already done it for several people. Yeah. Hundreds of charts. Man, feel free, man. Unleash on Germany, man. Let those Germans know the truth. That's not what happened, though. And I think I know why. Because I'm going to read some things in this book. You have no idea the direction this video is going. I promise you. So, that was 36 and 37. If one looks at the scientific data, everything points to the fact that we're already caught in such an analogous simulacrum. Now, everything that I just read from pages 36 and 37, you'll see them on the PDF. What I just read is exactly what I said on my intro video to YouTube. When you go to my intro video, it's like 13 minutes. It's an intro video talking about all the complex concepts of archaics. This is almost word for word, but the words have been rearranged. But that's some heavy borrowing. All that whole 2 pages I just showed, 2 paragraphs. Now, if you guys sense that I may be a little perturbed, you're right. I'm not worried about borrowing. There are hundreds of channels that borrow my material. But a list of prolific authors that you should be paying attention to is provided at the end of this book. And I'm not on that list, so I'm a little offended. But I think I know why I'm not on that list, because I found the answer in the book as well. So, 46 and 47. You guys already know all this. I beat y'all up with this before. Let's see. When I look at the division of the truth movement from the meta level, I cannot avoid the thought that polarization is controlled and catalyzed with full intention. Again and again, I think of a quote that is attributed to Lenin. The best way to control the opposition is to run it yourself. I agree 100%. But it's also something I've spent hours on YouTube talking about, how the truther movement is absolutely controlled and polarized. I believe this divide and conquer principle is applied across the board, not only between the mainstream and the alternative views, but also within each of these poles. While consumers of the mainstream media are deliberately divided into political and social case, the truther subculture has also been separated into opposing camps. This fragmentation is subliminally orchestrated and fomented. The system, which he's talking about the elite, uses intelligence agencies and think tanks. How many times have I said that exactly? They use intelligence agencies and think tanks to implement a diversity of narratives. This theory can only be proven to a limited extent. And if so, then only by using isolated examples. Nevertheless, I postulate an organized manipulation carried out so subtly that the seen cannot substantially recognize it. The reason I'm focusing on this is because this is something I know my archaic veterans, at least a 200 or 300 of you, can even tell me which videos I say these exact same things. Well, my problem is that I seem, by this author, I seem to be have shelved into this curious niche of somebody who studies ancient history and chronology and has some really interesting theories about simulation theory. However, the main body of arguments in this are all just rewritten straight out of archaics. So this is my problem. You can't just shelve me and put me off to the side and act like that I'm just some curious maverick genius that led you to making these discoveries, as opposed to you watching my videos and taking a whole bunch of notes and then repackaging it in the form of a book. So, yeah, well, I'm going to call a spade, guys. You guys know that. I have never bitten my tongue. So we're going to continue here. Page 108. You guys know that's the holy number in the ancient East. It's the holy number. 108 beads on a Buddhist rosary. 108 prayers. How many times have you guys heard this? A fundamental truth will always be confirmed from multiple different perspectives. Apparently that's the Phoenix hypothesis. Let's see, page 180. All right. From the perspective of spiritual immortality, there is nothing to fear. Nevertheless, I realize that even people who have had an out-of-body or transpersonal experience and who are fully aware of their eternal existence are still attached to their avatars, their physical body. Even in the world of highly immersive computer games, players are strongly associated with their virtual characters and often react emotionally when they pass away. This attachment doesn't even require a visual representation. In one of his podcasts, Jason Brashears reported on his experience with a board game, Dungeons & Dragons, during his time in prison. According to his account, even hardened felons occasionally burst into tears when their developed alter ego was struck by death. The sentence that mentions me does so as if I'm providing supporting evidence for the assertion that he made on his own. Did he make it on his own? Or is he just not giving credit where credit's due? This is my issue. So, page 181, I don't need to rewrite it all. In the same sentence, he says co-creators, that we're all co-creators. He talks about this, the simulacrum. Okay. It may be overkill to some of you guys, but you got to understand, I was specifically told in an email that this man did not have any contact with the archaic's data when he published this in Germany, when he published all this in German, in that article in Nexus Magazine. I was told something that was not true. And when I go online and I look at the English translation, and like at the beginning of this video, I itemize this entire list of things that were indeed talked about, and I know for a fact they were all also the main topic of discussions in Archaic's videos, then I have to wonder why this author thought it was so important to include that long passage about me in this book. Why? So, we have a lot of footnotes here. We don't need to read them all, but he's giving me credit for AIX. Jason Brashears coined AIX. He describes what AIX is. He does make a mistake. He says ancient Egyptian writings suggest that each stone in the Great Pyramid, the center of the world, represents an incarnate soul. That is not true, but I can understand how he made that mistake. Those are not ancient Egyptian texts that talk about that. Those are ancient Hermetic texts. It's a big difference. The Hermetic texts, the pseudepigraphical Jewish texts, and the Shepherd of Hermas text. These are the texts that talk about each stone is the soul of man. But yeah, it's also the ancient Vedic text and the traditions of the Altar of Agni, which had 10,800 bricks for the 1080 Annus Mundi date of the building of the Great Pyramid. I've already, remember, ancient Egyptian coffin text, 1080 is the same as the 1080 Annus Mundi, the year the Great Pyramid was built. So all those are interconnected. That's an easy mistake to make. It's just not ancient Egyptian texts. Talks about artificial intelligence, Maya, AIX, all that. All that's good. I mean, we already know. He already mentioned me over here about the AIX. But this is, I have to go into detail for you guys here because you have to understand, the man chose this name, the Phoenix Hypothesis. And it's basically talking about all the stuff I talk about in the Phoenix Phenomenon and Archaics. So we have to separate here. What exactly, where's he going with this book? If you're going to use a immense amount of material that came from me and pretend that that material didn't come from me and that I only influenced your research, then we need to figure out what this book is really about. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Because this book isn't about what you think it is. I'm about to show you. Get a few more examples here. 187. Page 192 talks about the Nemesis system. Now, far as I know, I don't know of a single YouTuber. I don't know of any author. I don't know of anything. Nemesis is known because in 1983, which is research that I published in my published books and on my YouTube channel, which this man would have seen, is 1983, two independent federal think tanks had two colleges basically go through all the scientific data. The exact same data. They were not allowed to communicate. They were given like 6 weeks to go through the data and write a thesis. What does this data mean? Both of them nailed it, that there is a cataclysm about to occur to our world. This is in 1983. It was published in 1984. Then it was turned into a classified document for the federal government. This is the same time that the IRIS Space Telescope had seen an object the size of Neptune at the edge of our system. So that was in 1983. So what is it about 1983 that I just saw? I just saw something about 1983. I don't know what it was. I lost where I was. Oh, the Nemesis, that's right. So as far as the Nemesis system being the origin of why we have two ecliptic planes and not one, is I've never seen that anywhere but in Archaics at all. So this is where the Nemesis X object comes from. This is where Luna came from before the capture of Luna. This is where our world came from. This world here came from in the simulation. It's where it all came from. This is where all the calendars started. I've got multiple videos showing how all these ancient calendars started. It was with the appearance of Phoenix. It was the appearance of the moon. It was the appearance of our world here started a calendar. It was the appearance of the Nemesis X object, 3439 BC, killed one-third of the world. It was when Enki appeared. Later remembered over 1,000 years later by the Jewish scribes in Babylon as Enoch. So this is all this. Yeah, the term Nemesis system, I've never seen that anywhere but in Archaics. Except the gaming. I mean, it's a gaming term. It is a Nemesis system, is it like role-playing games? Yeah, Nemesis system. It's in like Dungeons and Dragons, but it has nothing to do with a system of a collapsed binary. It's a trade-off system. So page 200, I understand that his intent is to write to a German audience. That's fine. How am I supposed to interpret this? The author says, I would like to illuminate a few scientific concepts whose understanding is helpful to understand isolated arguments in the Phoenix Hypothesis better. Since I have already in this book, let the genie of simulation theory or the idea of our reality as a virtual construct out of the bottle. You let that out of the bottle. I'm just going to move on. Guys, if you think this is bad, I promise you, you should see the notations I made in Graham Hancock's books. One of these days, I may just get tired and just unleash and show you all that cockamonia in those books. Tell you. My books in my library, they look like Bibles. I mark them up. Not these old 1800s books. We photocopy these. So, here it is on page 214. In late 2022, I don't know who wrote this. Apparently, it's not the author, or it's the author pretending not to be the author. This is about the old author. This is him right there. This is the man who wrote The Phoenix Hypothesis. He's in Switzerland right now. Hey, you guys remember that video I did about a year ago? Wasn't this published about a year ago, 2022? Damn, I just remembered that. It was about a year ago. I did a video on YouTube, and I told you guys, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me. A man sent me $1,000 PayPal from Switzerland just so we could do a Zoom call for about an hour, and all I did was answer questions about the Phoenix phenomenon. I told you guys about that in a video because it shocked me. It shocked me. Yeah. It's like, wow, okay, I'll do that. Sent me $1,000. The PayPal for doing a Zoom call. It was Switzerland. And it was, yeah, it's still on YouTube somewhere. I'm still talking about it somewhere on one of the videos. So here in the About the Author, in late 2022, he authored an article in Nexus Magazine titled The Phoenix Hypothesis. Despite being aware that his research findings diverged from prevailing alternative views. Wow. That one statement basically lays claim to all the data in this book being his data. This is his data. The Phoenix Hypothesis. Yeah, that's all. The Phoenix Hypothesis was much appreciated within the alternative spectrum and was received as a fresh new perspective that is worth to be discussed. The Osiris Verlag, a German publisher, approached Christian with the request to write a book about his point of view. This is the English translation of this material. It's all very interesting. All very interesting. So, we don't need to beat all that up. The PDF has everything in it. I even put pictures of where they put my face in there, all those pictures. I'm not cool with that, but they did that. I wasn't even told that I had a book coming, and I wasn't even told that my face was hidden in that book. No, I wasn't told any of that. We're not done with the book. I got three more things. I got something important to read. Listen, so Mr. Colbert's version reinforces. This is what I needed to get to, guys. The things that I just read to you, they're fine. He can believe whatever he wants to believe. He can take data off archaics and use it and all that. He doesn't want to cite me, or he wants to make it seem like most of this is all his and just some. That's cool. Whatever. I don't care. You know what? I just don't care. But I need you guys to understand what the true intent of this book is. Because we have to judge things by what they convey. There's a lot of praise to me in this book, and praise is disarming. It's exactly what you would expect if something was hidden, if there was subtext. Let me tell you exactly what this book does convey. Any of you can order his book, you know, Make the Man Rich. All of you can order the book and read it, and you'll see exactly. You can follow the PDF. Everything I'm saying so far is true, and so is this. The Phoenix Hypothesis reinforces planet over construct. Reinforces Zechariah Sitchin's and others' 3,600-year Char cycle model, and fails to mention even once the 138-year periodicity of the Phoenix phenomenon. Not one single reference to a single historical event for which the Phoenix phenomenon took place. But this is the Phoenix hypothesis. This is the Phoenix hypothesis. You would use historical examples to show that there's a cycle of destruction, a cycle of reset. But he couldn't, because he's using Zechariah Sitchin's and Graham Hancock's 12,000-year model. The Phoenix hypothesis, despite on archaics, I have shown over 40 videos on the chronology of Nemesis X being totally different than the 84-85 videos for the Phoenix phenomenon's 138-year periodicity. Two separate chronologies merging. One comes at 2040, one comes at 2046. Despite all that data, he cherry-picked what he wanted from the archaics material to put his version of the Phoenix hypothesis together, and then omit all this chronological data, and then in his book make several assertions that Phoenix and Nibiru are the same thing. Resets, edits, synchronicities, Mandela effects, deja vu. Not a hint of any of this. Any of the evidence that we're in a construct, that we're in a computerized existence that has glitches, holographic glitches, not a hint of that in the Phoenix hypothesis. Gotta wake up, people. So, I was really surprised to see that 3,600 years is promoted by him and the 12,000-year cycle. I have gone ad nauseum on my channel showing how ridiculous those theories are. Ad nauseum. But, you know, I mean, that's the establishment. The establishment is still pushing that material out, promise you. And equally, I promise that Randall Carlson, Graham Hancock, Billy Carson, all these dudes that produce these narratives, promise you, you guys know what it's been a month or two since I've been calling people out. Not one person stepped up to the plate. I know for a fact Graham Hancock's already been put on notice. So I'm telling you guys, this narrative, these attacks, they're real, guys. This book, trying to hijack the narrative. Trying to hijack the narrative. This book leaves ancient aliens and alien invasion still on the table. Of course it can, because it denies the construct. We're on a planet right here. It's in this book. There is nobody who can watch all my Phoenix videos and not get exposed to the compelling research about Nostradamus that I have shown. The mathematical interpretation of the quatrains, how they are codified, how Nostradamus mentioned the Phoenix, knew about 1902, knew about 2040, codified the 138-year periodicity of the Phoenix, said the sun was going to go dark, the moon was going to turn red, stones are going to fall from the sky, and he did it in four different quatrains that are all dated 2040 in Mario Reading's date index. Not a hint of that in here. Instead, this man cast aspersions at Nostradamus. It says his material was flowery and just poetry. You got to watch out for that stuff, guys. Really got to watch out for that, because here's three things you really need to know about. On page 72, what is archaics? What is archaics, guys? It's an acronym. Advanced Research of Chronological History of Artificial Intelligence X. Archaics is chronology based. This man avoided chronology like the plague. In addition to that, he denigrated it. On page 72, he basically told his readers, do not pay attention to chronological models. He said that in this book. So he's willing to cull material from the very source that he also denigrates. Yeah, I'm not cool with that at all. Not at all. So, and of course, he also says that, but the elite know the times. Yeah, it says it in the same paragraph. On page 123, one of my biggest problems. And then we're done. Page 123. Yeah, I'm not convinced that this wasn't all intentional. right, so. So he says this twice. Twice in this book, he provides a list of authors. Listen to this. He can give me all the praise he wants. He spent four pages giving me praise. He cited me in his bibliography two or three times, although there's about 80 independent facts out of this book, whole paragraphs straight out of my material. That's fine. But this is, despite all of that, this is what he says. Suppose I had to think about summarizing all the publications of Eric von Daniken, David Hatcher Childress, Graham Hancock, Brad Steiger, Andrew Tomas, Hans Bellamy, and many other authors. I'm not listed anywhere in there. He knows I'm a published author. He knows I've put a chronological history of the world for which I have challenged many people, and not one person has stepped up to meet that challenge, a debate or anything, write a thesis, I don't care. I will dissect anything in writing that comes my way. I'm going to give it the same attention I gave to this. I don't care. I'm not listed in that. Therefore, I don't bring the value that he's trying to convey. Graham Hancock's on this list. But it goes deeper than that. Because the back of the book, chapter 7, appendix, biography of important individuals. He goes in here and he basically says, I put my thesis together. This is what he's claiming. I put my thesis together based off Charles Hapgood. Wow, Archaics focuses on Charles Hapgood quite a bit. Con Thomas, he's the one that wrote the Eden Adam and Eve deal. How much have you heard about the Adam and Eve reset on my channel? And I provided way more data than Con Thomas did for his little CIA redacted deal. Emmanuel Velikovsky, all authors that I cite. Alois Irmer, this is a German. I wouldn't know anything about him. This is a German seer, not a researcher. He's somebody who has clairvoyant, clairaudio. I don't know anything about him. But this is his source, some German seer. Edgar Cayce, another seer. That's not somebody I'm going to cite as a credible source. I'm just not. Edgar Cayce put out almost pin perfect precision medical diagnoses and prognoses under hypnosis. He did that. When it came to historical things like the Great Pyramid and all that, he nailed a bunch of stuff. His track record for prophecy is terrible. His predictions are awful. Edgar Cayce. Carlos Muniz Ferrada, another mystic seer. I don't know much about him. I don't know much about him, but he's important to this guy. This guy said these are the guys that mainly influenced him when he put together his thesis. Again, Jason's not mentioned anywhere in that list. This is the second list of authors that he provides. This is an appendix. So, yeah, he goes off in all kinds of different concepts and breakaway civilizations. Everything here is mentioned by me, but it's also mentioned by other authors too. So I'm not even worried about that. But yeah, the main problem I have with the Phoenix hypothesis is that you can't cull a tremendous amount of data. You're probably watching videos. I don't know how you do it, but you cull all this material and then rewrite it. Change the sentence structure to make it look like these are your original ideas and not mine. And then turn around and publish huge sections that are 100% influenced from what you saw or what you read in my published books. I can't accept that when you won't even include me into the two main lists of authors that you highly value. And to take the name the Phoenix Hypothesis and yet not promote anything from where you got this material. Yeah, guys, you have to understand, this book's not about the Phoenix phenomenon. So I can't accuse him of stealing the Phoenix phenomenon material. It's not about the Phoenix phenomenon. It's basically promoting almost the exact opposite of everything that I teach in Archaics. This is a 100% materialist book. He does go a real, for a small period. He goes into the spiritual stuff, but it's an absolute copy of my material on how we are individualized immortals, and we're co-creators. Yeah, he takes that. He puts that in here. Even in the same sentence, he even says simulacrum. So the issue is as far as being well written, yeah, it's well written. Comes from a lot of different sources. I don't really know what the agenda is for this, other than is it an attempt to hijack a narrative for a people like the Germans who don't yet know about the Phoenix phenomenon? They don't know about archaic research or Jason Brashears. Is this an attempt to guide the narrative? So when anytime somebody hears anything like Phoenix thesis or the Phoenix theory, you understand Phoenix phenomenon, this is what pops up on Google. This is what's going to pop up. Oh, Phoenix hypothesis. Is this an attempt to hijack a narrative and then steer it it's painted real good. Like the person who wrote the book is reporting on all the activities of the elite and all that. And yet they took all the archaics material and went the other way. That's my presentation. Not impressed with the book. Don't really care about the author's feelings. I don't care because I'm a pretty good read. And I didn't misquote a single thing in this text. And the PDF, the link to the PDF, free download, is available to all of you as soon as I stop this video. But yeah, I am not impressed with this book at all. This is I am real curious as to how Nexus Magazine can still have that article out once the word starts getting out that a lot of that material came straight out of archaics in that article. So yeah, I don't know. It's gets me. But that's my material. And my next two videos are on Easter Island and the Crystal Skull. But of course, I got one to drop for archaics.tv too. Yeah, you guys know you got that coming. I may do a double on that one. Yeah, so yeah, guys, that's not cool. This if this isn't a psyop, if this isn't an attempt by an intelligence agency to start trying to guide the international narratives for the Phoenix phenomenon because Archaics has been so successful on multiple different platforms, if this is not an attempt and this is solely done by one guy, well, it wasn't done by one guy. Apparently, there's three of them involved. We got the author. We got Michael Horner. Anybody know who Michael Horner is? We got the author, Michael Horner. We got Christian Kohlert, who was just wandering around Mexico and the United States, and he's back in Switzerland. But he's a traveler. So, but they're not the only, but there's a third one. Special thanks were given to Robert Stein by Christian Kohler. Said he made this happen. So I don't know who Robert Stein or Mike Horner are. I don't even know who Christian Kohler is. But I'm gonna tell you now, this right here, bad taste. It was done in bad taste. You should have chose a different title. But I can understand why you did, because you borrowed a lot of material and tried to make it look like you only borrowed a little. So yeah, not cool. That's my assessment. Thank you, Nanny Kane. Oh yeah, I forgot. Sunday night, we're gonna be on Discord doing a Q&A. I was even, oh man, you guys already sent me a whole list of questions. Yeah, we're doing that Sunday night. Trying to think if I got any more news. Yeah, guys, Archaics is exploding. Yeah, we're on multiple platforms, talked about everywhere. You got to understand, even with the present growth being so fast, other channels have their mods in high gear just blocking anybody who mentions Archaics and all. Yeah, hell yeah. I've been attacked by other channels that pretend like I'm the one attacking them. Oh, it's gotten really ridiculous, guys. It's gotten really ridiculous. crazy. It's crazy. But it's okay. It's okay, because we got Dials Mavis, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. What, Chet's going off. Chet's on fire. So that's my presentation. I want to keep it short. We're doing, thank you, Corey Stern. We're doing live Q&A. We're doing live Q&A on Discord on Sunday night. I think it's 6 or 7 o'clock Sunday night. So today's Saturday. That's tomorrow night. Yeah, we got our kegs.tv video dropping. Sometime this week, Shiva Shampoo and I are going to arrange a Mandela Effect video. Yeah, we're going to do it. And my dumb ass is going to remember. This camera is real nice. I'm going to remember to keep this battery going. I tripped out. I know y'all panicked when I disappeared like that. But yeah, I don't have anything else to talk about right now. I wanted to get that out. I got that book in the mail yesterday, read it fast, wrote all my notes, put the PDF together, looked through. I just looking for subtext through all the book. Now I found my face in the picture. I couldn't believe I found my face tucked in that picture like that. And they shaded the side of my face to make it look just like the shading on that pyramid. Download the PDF. Listen, I've already uploaded the PDF. The PDF is already on Podia right now. All I got to do is take the link and put it in the description box. And I'm about to do that right now.